via remote, I'm Michael Brown. The World Health Organization said the United States could soon become the epicenter of the coronavirus pandemic. WHO spokeswoman Margaret Harris said an acceleration of new cases in the U.S. is behind the organization's assessment. Harris said 85% of new cases worldwide since Monday were confirmed in the U.S. and Europe. She said 40% of those new cases were in the United States. New York City is now seen as an epicenter of the virus in the United States, with far more cases than anywhere else in the nation. The pandemic has brought the U.S. economy, which was roaring just a month ago, to a halt, with business shuttered and people told to stay home. President Trump told Fox News Tuesday he would like to have the country opened up and raring to go by Easter, which is April 12. Some medical experts believe that is a bad idea. Meantime, while most Americans are under recommended lockdowns, Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi Tuesday ordered a complete three-week lockdown for the nation's 1.3 billion people. Modi warned if India does not handle these 21 days well, then the country will go backwards by 21 years. Italy, with more than 6,000 deaths, is still the world's coronavirus epicenter, but conditions are vastly improved in what had been ground zero, China. Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe announced Tuesday the 2020 Summer Olympics in Tokyo will be postponed until next year because of the epidemic, the coronavirus pandemic, that is, although the International Olympic Committee had said it would spend months debating the matter. The decision to postpone became inevitable after several countries said they would not send athletes if the games were held this summer. The summer games were scheduled for July 24. This is VOA News. South Sudan is shutting down Juba International Airport and all border entry points to prevent the spread of the COVID-19. The head of the airport said aviation officials Tuesday canceled all passenger flights from Kenya and Ethiopia scheduled to arrive in Juba. Sudan reported its first coronavirus case last Thursday after a 52-year-old Sudanese man who had returned from the United Arab Emirates died. The government has set up three quarantine centers in River Nile State that are equipped to receive suspected cases. The government has asked public workers to stay home for a minimum of 2 weeks as the government continues to monitor the situation. Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison said beginning Wednesday, all elective surgeries in the country, other than the very urgent cases, will be suspended to preserve resources and hospitals to deal with the coronavirus pandemic. Morris also urged sick people to remain at home unless they're going out for essential needs. Health ministers in Libya, backed government of the National Court on Tuesday, announced the war-torn country's first coronavirus case. The National Center for Disease Control did not provide any further details of the patient or his current state. As the coronavirus sweeps across the Middle East, Libya had been bracing for the virus to arrive despite dire shortages in medical supplies and protective gear. Public health officials have been warning that the coronavirus could be devastating in countries such as Syria, Yemen, and Libya, where years of conflict have gutted the healthcare systems and ravaged key infrastructure. People in Latin America are facing difficulties amid the newly imposed lockdowns and restrictions to control the spread of the new coronavirus. In Colombia, people were preparing for a mandatory lockdown, which began midnight Tuesday and will last until April 13. The local government in Bogota announced that people breaking the lockdown will be fined. Similar measures have been imposed in Ecuador, Argentina, Chile, Venezuela, and Peru. The Vatican is inviting Christians around the world to join Pope Francis in prayer against the coronavirus, as some workers in Vatican City complain they are being discouraged from working from home. A church tweet says Francis will conduct his prayer service on Wednesday. Some Catholic churches around the world still remain open despite the risk posed by congregations gathering in close contact during the coronavirus pandemic. In Liberty University, a private evangelical Christian school in Virginia has invited students back to campus this week despite the fast-growing epidemic in that state. The president of the school ordered the faculty to continue to work on the campus, even though classes will be held online. Via remote, I'm Michael Brown, VOA News.
Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voices of America. I'm James Barty in Washington. Today is Wednesday, March 25th, and here are some of the stories we are covering. South African officials have provided details about the country's impending 21-day coronavirus lockdown.
Our strategy, you said, has to be about flattening the curve. In other words, we allow the infection to be drawn out in such a way that we get as few people infected as possible so that it does not grow.
The Kenyan government has distanced itself from an alleged 6 million missing face masks. Cameroon mourns the death of legendary saxophonist and singer Manu Dibango. Zimbabwe doctors call for stronger government support after the country's first coronavirus death. Botswana moves to secure its borders, and a Malawi opposition alliance declares this Friday a day of rage.
For us as Malawians, we feel that Peter Mutharika and Jane Ansah are portraying a high level of insolence, audacity, arrogance and impunity, because everybody in this country must be under the law.
Maurice Mutale is spokesperson for the opposition Malawi Congress Party. Those stories and more are coming up on Daybreak Africa. African officials have fleshed out details about the nation's impending 21-day lockdown to attempt to slow the spread of the novel coronavirus. VOA's Anita Powell reports from Johannesburg.
This three-week lockdown, South Africa's president warned as he announced the harsh measure, could be the biggest challenge the nation has faced in decades. To underscore the gravity of the situation, Health Minister William Kize noted Tuesday that the caseload had risen by more than 100 cases overnight, and that two patients had gone into critical care. And so he said a lockdown, set to begin late Thursday night, is necessary. He explained to an anxious nation.
Our strategy, we said, has to be about flattening the curve. In other words, we allow the infection to be drawn out in such a way that we get as few people infected as possible so that it does not grow so rampantly as to overwhelm our health services. In that way, we have to behave or take certain decisions that will make it easier for us to manage it and more difficult for it to spread.
Health officials have estimated that hundreds of thousands of South Africans could be infected if the virus is allowed to run rampant. The nation already has the world's highest burden of HIV, meaning millions of South Africans are already prone to opportunistic illnesses. The government has also brought in the National Army to support the lockdown by limiting movement. On Monday, the day the lockdown was announced, soldiers were seen on main roads in Johannesburg, the nation's largest city. Those found in violation of the lockdown could face a fine or 1 month's imprisonment. However, officials assured South Africans that essential businesses will remain open, including pharmacies, laboratories, supermarkets, gas stations, and healthcare providers. Financial institutions such as banks and the stock exchange will also continue to operate. Mkhize, a physician, then prescribed his nation a bitter pill, patience.
The numbers, we mustn't be shocked when we see them increase. But these measures, if we all work together, must turn the curve around. But it won't happen tomorrow. It won't happen next week. If there's any change, it should probably take us a couple of weeks before we can see it turn around.
On that note, he said Good Friday and Easter, usually a highlight of the South African calendar, are canceled this year. Anita Powell, VOA News, Johannesburg.
The government of Kenya has distanced itself from alleged German claims that a consignment of 6 million face masks disappeared at the Jomo Kenyatta International Airport en route to Germany. Speaking to the Voice of America, Kenyan government spokesperson Cyrus Oguna said if Germany has evidence that the masks were missing in Kenya, then they should make their claim through normal diplomatic channels. Marie Ojiambo reports from Nairobi.
According to Reuters, German custom officials are trying to track about 6 million face masks ordered to protect health workers from coronavirus that are said to have disappeared at the Jomo Kenyatta International Airport in Nairobi. Speaking yesterday, Tuesday, Kenya's government spokesperson Cyrus Oguna said that if the claims were true, the German embassy in Nairobi would have launched the investigation into the disappearance of the consignment.
We have our Kenyan embassy in Germany, and they have not been able to receive any complaint from anyone. German embassy in Nairobi, they have not lodged any complaint. And therefore, those information that's in the social media are information that have got no merit whatsoever, and as a government, cannot comment on unsubstantiated information of that kind.
They said masks, which has the capacity to filter out more than 90% of particles, were ordered by German Customs Authority in collaboration with the Armed Forces Procurement Office that have been helping the German Health Ministry to get hold of urgently needed protective gears. Mr. Oguna says unless the consignment was meant for other regional countries or Kenya, it is difficult that the consignment will go through Kenya to Germany.
Unless it was something that was intended to come from Germany to another, you know, country through Nairobi. But I can assure you that there was no consignment like that that passed through Jomo Kenyatta International Airport. And if there was, then it has never gotten to Nairobi. Whoever was, you know, the consignee must have to look for it elsewhere, but not here.
The claims comes the same day as Kenya's Ministry of Health was receiving testing kits and masks from the Jack Ma Foundation to fight the COVID-19 virus, whose number of infections in Kenya have risen to 25. Acting Director General Ministry of Health Patrick Amoth said that the kits will be deployed across all the isolation centers to fasten the processes at the designated hospitals. The consignment shipment was due in Germany on March 20th, but never arrived after allegedly disappearing at the end of last week at the Jomo Kenyatta International Airport. Reporting for VOA's Daybreak Africa, I am Maureen Ojembo in Nairobi, Kenya.
Cameroon is mourning the loss of legendary saxophonist and singer Manu Dibango, who died from COVID-19 in France. Family members and lovers of his music have been visiting the iconic musician's relatives in his country of origin to express their condolences. Moki Edwin Kinzeka reports from Yaoundé.
Family members and fans of music icon Manu Dibango have been weeping at his Douala residence in Cameroon since news of the 86-year-old's death broke Tuesday morning. 30-year-old Olive Njok, speaking through a messaging app from Douala, says Africa has lost a talent and peacemaker.
Le décès de tonton Manu, comme nous l'appelions affectueusement.
She says she feels devastated that a man who is known to have used music to make Cameroon and Africa smile and forget about challenges like famine, wars and diseases has unexpectedly succumbed to COVID-19. She says souvenirs bearing Manu Dibango's constant smile will always remain in the minds of Africans. Cameroon State Radio announced that Dibango died from COVID-19 complications in Paris, where he had lived for close to 40 years. Dibango rose to international fame when he released this tune, Soul Makossa, a blend of Cameroonian and Congolese rhythms. It was used as the theme of the 1972 African Cup of Nations football tournament and became one of the few African songs to reach the top 40 charts in the United States. In 2009, Dibango filed a lawsuit asserting that Michael Jackson stole a hook from the song for Jackson's hit Wanna Be Starting Something. Jackson settled the case out of court. Over a career that lasted more than six decades, Dibango released 70 albums and worked with artists such as South Africa's Ladysmith Black Mambazo and American jazz composer Herbie Hancock. Cameroonian singer and composer Adeline Benkum says Dibango's works will always be remembered. She says the saxophonist was a blessing to Cameroon.
We're going to miss his simplicity, his positive attitude towards constructing, and his love for country. Despite his long stay in France, Manu Dibango has remained very attached to this country. We're going to miss him a lot, but I know that his works will live and will continue to guide the younger generation that is coming up.
A message on Dibango's official Facebook page adds that his funeral will be held in strict privacy and a tribute to his memory will be organized when possible. His fans say they regret that they will not be able to bury their icon back home. Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, Yaoundé, Cameroon.
Doctors in Zimbabwe are calling for stronger government support after the country's first death related to the coronavirus. Family members of Zororo Makamba, who died Monday at Zimbabwe's designated hospital for COVID-19 patients, say the facility lacks the necessary equipment to fight the virus. Columbus Mavunga has the story from Harare.
30-year-old Zororo Makamba, a well-known TV broadcaster, died Monday from corona-related causes at Wilkins Hospital in Harare. His family issued a statement Monday saying that the hospital, which the government named as the country's main coronavirus treatment center, lacks basic equipment such as oxygen and medical drugs for COVID-19 positive patients. The concerns were echoed Tuesday by Dr. Sacrifice Chirisa, Secretary General of Zimbabwe Medical Association. Chirisa said Wilkins Hospital needs to be better equipped and that medical staff need more protection from the virus.
So we are appealing for emergency supply of PPE, our protective, personal protective equipment, masks, as soon as possible. Let's move the levers of power. Let's talk to our neighbors. Let's talk to our all-weather friends. We need PPE if we are going to fight COVID and manage the cases effectively.
Makamba had recently traveled to the United States and returned from New York 2 weeks before his death, according to his family. On Monday, President Emmerson Mnangagwa partially closed Zimbabwe's borders in an effort to limit people's exposure to COVID-19. He said the government is taking steps to give medical staff greater support.
I'm also aware of concerns which continue to be raised by our health personnel who are in the front line of fighting this pandemic. They continue to deliver services at great personal risk. They deserve our support. They must be rewarded. To that end, I have directed the release of additional funding towards the procurement of more safety clothing to be flown into the country.
President Mnangagwa did not indicate when the equipment would be procured. For years, critics have said the government neglects Zimbabwe's health sector and they fear Zimbabwe will turn into another epicenter of COVID-19. In the past, the United States and the European Union have stepped in with equipment and drugs when Zimbabwe was hit by outbreaks of waterborne cholera and typhoid. Columbus Mavunga for VOA News, Harare.
You're listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Today is Wednesday, March 25th. Botswana, one of the few African countries without a confirmed case of the coronavirus, has moved to secure its borders after neighboring Zimbabwe recorded its first coronavirus-related death on Monday. Soldiers will be watching border crossings, but authorities say Zimbabweans who use unauthorized entry points present a real challenge. Kundise Dube reports from Habaroni.
Botswana's government announced Tuesday it was closing all border crossing points with immediate effect. Botswana's Vice President Slamba Tsokwane addressed the nation on state television.
The movement of people visiting neighboring countries, including Lesotho and Swaziland, is restricted. His Excellency the President recently undertook an emergency official trip to Namibia to seize presence of other regional heads of state in Windhoek to discuss critical COVID-19 measures taken in respect of the countries sharing borders with the Republic of Botswana.
The closures will remain in place until further notice. Citizens will be allowed to return home but must submit to a 14-day quarantine. The move came a day after Zimbabwe registered the region's first coronavirus-related death. Soldiers are being deployed to watch border crossings. However, authorities say it will be difficult to prevent all illegal entries. Many Zimbabweans coming into Botswana use unauthorized entry points. Botswana Defense Force official Kumomuru Habuse said Monday that the situation could undermine efforts to keep out the coronavirus. In 2018, Botswana deported nearly 29,000 illegal immigrants from Zimbabwe. Habron resident Kumo Tlakane said Botswana should now move to curb illegal immigration.
Now our greatest threat is the border jumpers because they don't go through the same screening process that everyone who comes into Botswana goes through. So now I think the government should step up and increase their measures. The soldiers should do more patrols.
Botswana also has to keep an eagle eye on South Africa, which had recorded more than 500 COVID-19 cases as of Tuesday. However, the number of border jumpers from South Africa and Botswana's other neighbors is usually small. Mkondisi Dube for VOA News, Haburoni.
In Malawi, the alliance of two main opposition political parties have declared this Friday, March 27, a day of rage to force the resignation of the country's Electoral Commission chairperson and other commissioners. The Malawi Congress Party and the United Transformation Movement Party say Commission Chairperson Jean Ansah should resign because she supervised the 2019 presidential election, which the Malawi Constitutional Court has annulled because it was fraudulent. Maurice Mutale, spokesperson for the Malawi Congress Party, says Malawians are asked not to go to work on Friday to demand the resignation of Jean Ansah.
We are only trying to send a message to Peter Mutharika and Jean Ansah that for us as Malawians, enough is enough because we feel that Peter Mutharika and Jean Ansah are portraying a high level of insolence, audacity, arrogance and impunity because everybody in this country must be under the law. And when the court ruled that the MEC is incompetent, there is no way they can continue arranging, preparing, and executing anything to do with the elections. So that's why we're saying Friday should be the day of rage. Let's send a signal and a strong message to Peter Mutharika that for Malawians, enough is enough. And they must hear and do the needful. And the needful is that MEC should pave way for a new team to come and run the affairs of the elections that are ahead of us.
So what will you be doing during this day of rage? In other words, will you be marching in the streets to express your rage?
Much as we would have loved to march in the streets, but we also know at the same time that there is this COVID-19 pandemic, which is global. We cannot do that because we know that prevention is better than cure. But what is going to happen on Friday is that people must just stay in their homes, don't go to work, and that in itself must be a strong message to Peter Mutharika.
President Mutharika and the Malawi Elections Commission have appealed to the Supreme Court about the Constitutional Court's ruling annulling the 2019 vote results. Why don't you wait for the legal process to take its course?
There is no constitutional act that is being flouted when two or three or even more options are being taken at the same time. The legal process is a legal process that we all respect, and that is going to be on course. But any other measure that we can take so that Peter Mutharika and Jean Ansah can hear and listen, we'll do that, because it doesn't say anywhere in the Constitution that we cannot do two, three, or even more things at the same time.
Jean Ansah announced this week that a new presidential election will take place July 2nd this year. Will the opposition participate in the July election?
What Jean Ansah and Peter Mutharika must know is that the opposition, and this time around our grand alliance, is never going to boycott the elections. We are going to participate in the elections, and we're going to win those elections. And I think they are terrified because they know that Now winning is guaranteed on our part. So any program that is lined up, we're going to follow it. But what we're saying is that program must not be executed by Jane Ansah and her commission.
Maurice Mutale is the spokesperson for the opposition Malawi Congress Party. He was speaking with us from the capital, Lilongwe. Since the beginning of 2019, the Democratic Republic of Congo has recorded over 300,000 measles cases and more than 6,400 deaths. Dio Manirakiza, immunization program officer at UNICEF's Kinshasa Health Section, spoke to Ricky Stryak about the ongoing outbreak.
The majority of these deaths are children under five, almost 75%. For the moment, most affected provinces are, in terms of morbidity, eastern and southern provinces, and the Kasai provinces has been the epicenter of the outbreak, with now 36,000 cases and over 1,000 of deaths.
Now, isn't Kasai also the epicenter of Ebola, is that correct?
Yes, the Kasai was last year the epicenter of the outbreak, yes.
Are the other epidemics, Ebola and now Corona, are they pulling resources and attention away from this issue of measles, which is a preventable disease and one that affects children the most?
Yes, you are right. There are now for the moment other epidemic diseases such as Ebola, cholera, yellow fever, and now the COVID-19. The country continues to struggle with all these diseases with the support of the partners. And what we can say is that these other epidemic diseases has affected the measles campaign, which has contacted since October to December 19, discovered normally covered all the country and reached over 18 million of children. However, this campaign did not stop the spread of the outbreak and measles because all requirements were not there to succeed the campaign, because there are other epidemic and health workers and other account partners are not focused on the response on the outbreak. However, the country and with the support of our partners decided to continue to implement catch-up vaccination activities in 121 districts, which did not perform well. It was the district which reported over 10% of unvaccinated children during the measles campaign.
What kind of challenges lie ahead for healthcare workers?
The main of the challenges are linked to the weaknesses of the health system in general. Here in DRC, we noticed a poor operational capacity of health system at different level. Particularly at health district level. Health district team, they don't have all capacity to manage the high impact intervention on children development.
That was Dio Manirakiza, immunization program officer at UNICEF's Kinshasa Health Section. He was speaking to Ricky Stryak from Kinshasa. And that's it for this Wednesday, March 25th edition of Daybreak Africa. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa team, producer Nicole Beckford, reporters Peter Clotty and Ricky Stryak, as well as post editor Samson O'Malley, along with all of our engineers, I'm James Butte in Washington, hoping you have a good day.
Hello, Africa. This is Peter Clotty, host of the VOA's Africa Weekend show, Nightline Africa. Tune in. You will be glad you did.
Nightline Africa is a fast-paced, tightly edited news show designed to keep our listeners engaged from beginning to end. Nightline comes to you live from the Voice of America on the following shortwave frequencies: 6080 kilohertz, 49.3 meter band, and 15580 kilohertz, 19.2 meter band.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. and it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09.05 and 20.05 UTC, right after the international news.